series of lessons this morning regarding topics of God in the Bible. And the topic I've chosen this morning is one that we had last week in our bulletin article on page 2, and that is being closer to God. How do we become close to God? God starts us out that way. Hebrews 12 and verse 9 tells us, we all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Much more God, who is the Father of our spirit, that we may live. The idea of being people who serve the cause of God is wrapped up in the concept that we are people who are here because of God. He is the Father of our spirit. Our fathers are the fathers of our flesh. We know from the scientific studies that are underway that there are cells that are procreative, and as a result, we grow in our mother's womb. We come forth physically as that is physically of our fathers. But we have a father of our spirit that we're to bow before. Reverence God as the Father of our spirit that we may live. And the context of that in Hebrews 12 is the idea of living with God, living as His servant, living faithfully with the ways of the Lord. And as a result of that, can we find much closer a walk with God than to come here and our spirit came directly from God Himself. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't have anything to do with the fact of anything other than the flesh would come. But the flesh coming has a spirit that God gave it. And God gave that spirit to us for us to be accountable to Him as we live on this earth. He wanted us to be blessed. Heaven and hell were created. The idea of a place of home for God and the idea of a home for the devil and his angels. Jesus described that place of Gehenna being a place that God intended for the devil and his angels. Why would we want to live in such a way and avoid the forgiveness of God for our sins so that we might enter into that place that He prepared for the devil and his angels? He did not want to be close to them. He wanted them to be away from Him. And then there be individuals who choose a way of life by which they live like the devil and like his angels, and as a result end up in that place of Gehenna. Paul writes about that way of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The idea of us being spiritually acceptable to God, and so that we might live with Him forever, were the closing words that Jesus gave in regard to His life here on earth and His work. In John 14, He notes the following. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The closeness that God wants us to have as we're born continues to be the closeness that He wants us to have with Him after this earthly life is over. As we pass away from this earthly life and leave behind this physical ways of life, it goes back, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12, to the dust that He made us with from the beginning. But our spirit, our soul, returns back to God who gave it. The idea that we spiritually are a person accountable to God and will go back to the judgment bar of God for how we have lived. That's what Paul was talking about there in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, a passage which we've already noted. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Our physical body, no, it won't appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be changed. But our spiritual body, our spiritual entity that's eternal, will be there. And it'll be judged according to the teaching of God's Word. Jesus said in John 12, verses 48 and 49, He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, listen to that, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For the words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave me these words and a commandment that I now deliver unto you. It is the case that Jesus came to deliver the words of the Heavenly Father, the Father from whom we came. We all have fathers of the flesh. We reverence them. Much more God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we live. God wanted us to be close to Him at the beginning. He wants us to be close with Him as we live here upon this earth, living His way and doing His way of will, teaching others who foolishly go the ways of the devil, the ways of his angels, and seek to hurt and harm and pillage in this life. But the idea of coming back to the way of God, being close to Him, and realizing His closeness is what He wants us to have. At the day of the judgment, He'll be close to us, and we'll be close to Him. But if it is the case, Jesus said in Matthew 25 very vividly, that we find ourselves amiss from God, we'll find ourselves at His left hand, put away from Him. We'll find ourselves adrift from the closeness that God intended for us to have. He wants us to have that closeness. He has such wonderful compassion and wonderful forgiveness to us, wonderful grace and merited toward us, wonderful blessings that He can give us in this life. He wants us to live close to Him from day to day. I was emphasizing in that particular article last week the closeness that we all felt and encountered in regard to the beautiful Psalms that we used. Not that He left us in the Old Testament of the Bible. Brother John didn't leave us there, but he began with the Old Testament principles of the Psalms. How that sins can separate us from God, how that forgiveness can come from God, and how blessings can be and the compassion of God in our daily walk of life. He brought that over in the New Testament and showed how Jesus came and illustrated that in His own life, the ways of God. And then He talked about how we can practice that way today and bring others to the knowledge of the Lord and bring others to the hope of the soul. And as a result, live that way. This is the closeness with which He talked about in the ideals about God. And how that we found ourselves looking at that and saying, well, I didn't appreciate how close His forgiveness was to me. I didn't appreciate how much His compassion was for me. And that is something that I really now want to gain. For that, we're grateful. Grateful for His lessons and presentations. And we'll go out. I want to challenge us all to take one or two, not three or four or five. Don't do that. We're in a busy time of the year with school starting back and things like that. But take just one or two of the brochures that we used as we mailed them out here. And we got some people visiting with us even today. We have you because you got the mail out. And you received that mail out, and you came to visit us, and you enjoyed what you saw and heard and read in the Bible, and you're back with us today. We're glad that you are. And the ideals that we have is that that's not gone. You see, on the front of that, call attention to the fact that there's a website that we have here at the Crockett Church. We buy every year. We pay for it every year. We look forward to people going to it and listening to the sermons of John Hall there once again. Particularly that one on that Monday night. It's the number 2A in that particular group. And that one on that night will just teach everybody what we really believe and what we really teach about the Church of the Lord and the ways of the Lord. They'll benefit from any of the lessons that are heard and remind them that they can hear them again. Take one or two of those brochures is all that you take, but you would give that to one or two of family or friends to know that we have them online. Now, they may accidentally click into the guy who was setting us up for this particular website, and he said, you're going to always have people going out into Texas when they say CrockettChurchOfChrist.com. They're going to go out in Texas because there's a Crockett Church of Christ out in Texas. But he said, if you put where you live, Crockett MS Church of Christ, Crockett Mississippi Church of Christ, they'll always come to you. And I said, I want them to always come to us right here. And so Crockett MS is what it turned out to be. Crockett MS Church of Christ.com.
It's available to you in good studies and a lot of other studies through the years that are there. Now back to my point at hand. Being close to the Lord and close to His way is something you and I can talk about with others all the time. And we can encourage that right way of the Lord. Close to Him directly. Secondly, I want to note to you today that we'll be close to the Lord as He purchased the church with His own blood. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the various elders of the church are called, back up there earlier in the book of Acts chapter 20, to come to meet Paul at the little island place of Miletus. This is before his arrest and ultimately his being put to death. But he wants to meet with those elders of the church there at Ephesus. And as they come to meet with him, he tells them that they are to take heed to themselves and to the flock, over which the Lord has made you overseers, to feed the church which he purchased with his own blood. Can you be any closer as you live here upon this earth, as you are close in your birth, and closeness that he wants you to have in your daily walk, and closeness at the time of death, but the idea that along the way there in this earthly life, I can be covered by his blood. He purchased the church with his own blood. Can I say that the church is unimportant to me? Can I say that the church is unimportant to the Lord when this was the price paid to purchase the church with his own blood? That closeness to him is the wonderful blessing. For in Ephesians 1 and verses 7 and 8 we read that it is through the blood of Christ that we have the cleansing of our sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Wonderful blessing is found in the blood of Christ. I'm in the church that he purchased with his own blood. And I find myself rejoicing in reading the scripture, in understanding what he said, and understanding what to apply to my friends and my family in life. My closeness with God in the church. Then number three, I'll have the closeness of God as I worship in the church. For it's in the church I'm to glorify God throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians chapter 3, the last two verses of that chapter. What is it in the church I'm to do? I'm in the church to glorify God throughout all ages, world without end. I'm to do that as long as time stands. I'm to pass that along to the next generation of people, my children and children's children, of what they're to do to the body of Christ, the church. Glorify God in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Now, if I'm glorifying Him and blessing Him and thanking Him, do I want to be like the brethren at Corinth and misuse the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11? He's criticizing them for eating and drinking, condemnation to their souls, as they're thinking only in regard to it being bread and juice. They're not thinking of it as the body and the blood of Christ. They're told that they're eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. Do I want to be that way adrift from God, or do I want to come back and be close to the Lord and remember His body on the cross and remember His blood that was shed? And thus my worship in the Lord's Supper be a meaningful spiritual way in my heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, I read about their preaching, their praying, and their singing. How it was to be done at that time in words which others didn't understand at all. They had leaders of those particular statements being made in prayer and in song and in preaching that were not understood by any of those who listened. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks in regard to the people who would come to visit your service and how that they'll say that you leave saying you are insane, you're mad, because they do not understand the words that are being spoken. They had power to speak in various languages in that day and time, but they used it only for that purpose. As a result of that, they felt much superiority to those that they were speaking to. but no one understood what they were being said. They were told to do that alone and told to do that with God, not do that as the congregation came together in the church. What the Lord tried to do, I want to maintain in this lesson study today, that he wanted them to worship him in spirit and in truth, because listen to it in John 4:23. God seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What I see in John 4:23, God seeks true worshipers to worship him. Does he want them to be closer to him? Does he want to be close to them as they sing and as they pray and as they preach God's word? The brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14 were not doing that. And Paul pleads with them, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. I want that understanding to be just as much a part as I want that spiritual entity of saying I'm blessed and I'm happy in this thing to be a part of your mind and part of your talking. You have the words that easily can be understood. And Paul says the following about unknown tongues. He said, I'd rather speak 5 words understood by everybody listening to me. I'd rather speak 5 words understood than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Is that saying that it's okay to use an unknown tongue to teach and speak to people? No, it's saying words easily understood if they're just 5 of them. Can be worthwhile. In the process of our study today, then, we find our first lesson in this month to look at the ideas. We work this particular idea of topics for the next 6 months of time, really. But we work this morning on the idea of the closeness of God as we're born and as we live upon this earth. Hopefully, the closeness of God as we live on this earth will be in glorifying God in the church that he purchased with his own blood. Hopefully we'll find ourselves at the end of life being able to glorify God because all of our days we have sought to worship him in spirit and in truth and have learned from the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians not to misuse the Lord's Supper and not to misuse our praying, our singing, and our preaching at all. There will be people who worship the Lord as we bow before him. You know, in 1 Corinthians 16, he mentions about the contribution they're to make and how that they can make that contribution in an equitable way, as on the first day of the week, labor and store, put it into a common treasury on the first day of the week, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul saying, I don't need to run around amongst you and visit with you individually to get a collection so that we can send it over there to the needs in Judea. I need to have that efficiently done. And on the first day of the week, as I've given order to the church of Galatia, so do you. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Even the Lord in his word, revealed through Paul, did not want us to think of the money contributed as just the money. The idea is that this was to be a blessing for others and a blessing to help others. And as we go along with that idea, we find ourselves worshiping God in the way that he describes in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 as a way of love, a way of grace. Giving is a way of grace, a way of love, a way of being blessed. For in 2 Corinthians 9, he talks about how that God blesses whatever the gift is. He wants us to give as we've been prospered, but if we can grow in that and realize our prosperity and realize our blessing and grow in that, he accepts what we give as we give it. Does he want to be close to us? Do you get the idea of these verses? He wants to be close to us. This song today provides an opportunity for you to think about that closeness to God. And if you today need to be baptized into Christ, confess your faith in Him and be baptized into Him, you'll have that closeness begun. If you've done that in days gone by, not lived that way and publicly, it's been an atrocious way of life, why not come back in repentance and prayer like Simon did in Acts 8 and have that understood that He'll forgive the thought and intent of our heart? Who is closer to us to know the thoughts and intents of our hearts?